was reminded very, very, very heavily of you this past weekend.
Okay, what happened?
I played in the Irish Poker Open, which is a large poker tournament here in Ireland.
And if there's one thing I'm known for, it's my prowess at the poker table. Mm.
It is. Mm. Yeah, yeah. No, what there's one thing you're known for, and the similarities were stark and evident, it is being in a big convention center hall with a bunch of tables and nerds playing with cards.
Okay, why did that make you think of me specifically? You know lots of magic nerds.
Yeah, but you and I used to go to GP specifically a lot.
Oh, true. We've got a lot of memories of that. We got a lot of memories with that as the setting. Big hall full of card-playing nerds. Right, I understand. Yeah,
so there's some differences, right? A magic tournament, there's a deafening sort of low hum of people flicking their cards.
Yep.
Poker tournament, it's all chips.
Yeah, so it's clicking and clacking instead, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of nice, actually. Like, it's got a little bit of an ASMR white noise feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
The clientele generally older. They're much more good.
Much cooler, I imagine. A lot of backwards caps and sunglasses.
Well, one of the guys that sat next to me, dude.
Let's go.
Sunglasses, big pair of headphones.
Yeah.
Super intense. And I looked at him, and he was playing our poker tour. So I play in the mini championship tournament.
Uh-huh.
Which in scale is very similar to an old Magic the Gathering Grand Prix, right? It's
and that's
2 days.
The mini?
Yes.
Wow.
It's getting, 2 days. It's 200 euro to buy into.
Okay. Yeah, it's a lot.
And the guaranteed prizes are €500,000.
What? Everyone? Wow, that's a good deal.
Yeah, it's
I'd
good.
Sign up for that.
EV is huge. Yeah,
last place, €500,000. Great. Yeah, fantastic.
Well, look, both teams played hard. But it's very similar to a GP in it has rounds, it has breaks for lunch, you can make day two. It's a lot
does
more
it, does it have a deafening loudspeaker system where it goes, we are looking for just one more player for a Dominaria United draft, and everyone has to stop what they're doing and get interrupted by that or no?
No, it does. They do have queues. They have on-demand events like that for mostly for cash games, which are exactly the same. They're in their own area. It's much like on-demand firing drafts. They have a main event, then when a GP would have like all the PTQs and stuff.
Yes,
I was playing in the equivalent of a PTQ, basically.
Okay, so when the announcement was feature matches for round four,
TV area. Yeah,
I can tune out for this. I don't need to listen to that. Yeah.
But you would also get players in the mini championship. Your blinds are about to go up at the next hand. All this kind of stuff that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more cutthroat.
Your blinds are about to go up. Diamonds are debuffed for this round.
It's all Bellatro for you, dude.
Oh, dear. Go on, sorry.
You can only play one hand type. That caught me way off. So it's much more cutthroat. So in a Magic the Gathering Grand Prix, 20% of the field of day one generally makes day two, right? In a poker tournament like this, only 7% makes day two.
Oh, you're joking. So the cut's even more brutal.
Well, it's because there's multiple day one. There are multiple day ones.
What do you mean?
So there's a day one on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and there's a morning one and an afternoon one. As you recall, I think Channel 4 Ball trialed a structure similar to this.
They did. I remember this. It was like you could play in the... There was a three-day GP, and you could play on the Friday, and then if you did well, you'd go straight to... Sunday, then you could try again or for the first time on Saturday. Yes, I remember that.
So looking at this poker tournament, it is abundantly clear that Magic the Gathering events are carbon copies of poker tournaments.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Funnily, there was actually a heads up, which is to say a 1v1 poker event at the Irish Poker Open. And I was like, this is just a GP. Except the cost of running it is astronomical.
How does 1v1 poker work? What?
Well, all poker tournaments end up 1v1 at some stage, generally speaking.
So you just skip straight to that thing.
Yeah.
So that's Turbo Town.
That's Turbo Town. Well, here's the thing. Imagine Turbo Town, 1v1 games, but every single table has its own judge.
Oh, yeah, because you have to have a dealer. Yeah, of course.
You have to have a dealer.
No, so you just say, all right, now don't cheat. You can deal, but don't cheat.
Don't cheat. Pinky promise.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. Seeing some of the stuff, the way it's run, coming from an event, a card game event organizational background like I do.
Weirdly specific. Yep.
Yeah, very specific. But they had a VIP area for like the, but it's weird. It was just a player's lounge, but it was very, very nice. But anybody could just walk in and go to it. I don't, there's no ticket to get into the event. No one checks your ID going into the event either, which is wild.
That is crazy considering it's actual gambling as opposed to Magic, where the gambling, you know, is less explicit.
Less explicit.
Here's my question though. Did you get a chance to have a look at the vendors? Any cool rare cards there?
Yeah, so there was, I did see a seven of hearts. Is pretty cool.
Oh, wow. It's good. Yeah.
No, there's more food and there's a lot more booze, which is something that I believe a lot of our mainland European listeners would believe Magic events would benefit from.
Yeah, people have tried this and actually this has happened at MagicCon. They've done like 21 and up events at American gardens, MagicCons, yeah. That involve, that are basically played in what, you know, BDM, he's the one in charge of it. He tries to essentially turn it into a bar and, and so it's cocktails and while they're playing. Pretty, like, very cool concept. I haven't gone to any of them because I've been working at these events. But based on what BDM has said, they sound really good. But, again, the concern I'd have is, like, playing with hundreds, potentially thousands of dollars worth of wizard squares around glassware that is, you know, kind of, from an engineering standpoint, almost designed to tip over.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's very valid. What's weird about poker events is they have table service and waitresses.
Oh yeah! Wow, like in Vegas at the casino.
Like in a casino, yeah. And you tip them, and you order a drink, and there's a little stool next to the chair that where you put your drink on and stuff. Yes. Very cool.
It's all set up. Yeah.
What's also strange is because in playing a Texas Hold'em tournament, you don't play 75% of your hands because they're garbage. Yeah.
Yes.
So a lot of downtime. So very, very, very lenient rules of what you can do with your downtime.
Well, this is what I was going to ask about the guy who came down, sat down with his headphones on. You can have headphones on?
You can have headphones on? He had his headphones on. On his phone, he was playing two separate poker games on PokerStars. Oh,
what a degen, dude. What triple a queuing. Degen. Triple queuing, one of them IRL.
Yeah. You can have your phone out. You can text. Sometimes the dealer might ask you to not text if you're actively in a hand.
Yeah, but if you fold it, then you can kind of just do whatever.
But you also, if you want to go to the bathroom, you just stand up and go.
And what you're assumed to have folded?
You will fold any hands you're not present for. Yeah.
Okay, but you have to pay the blinds if you.
Yeah, so you time it. You know, after you're the button.
Yeah.
It's peeing time.
Yeah, off you go.
It's very, very strange.
Yeah. Well, only because we've come up with something very different, right? Even the only reason we think that's like poker players who go and then play in a Magic event are going to be like, "What the hell, man? This is like prison,
totalitarian state. Yeah, nobody's standing up. Where are you going?
I have to ask to go to the toilet. Yeah, it's like primary school."
What is interesting as well? So there's much more granularity in poker because I saw somebody make a mistake someone raised, the person to my left called. And they thought they were the last person with action in hand, so they showed their cards. But there was one person who hadn't actually taken an action yet.
Oh, what happens then?
They make sure everyone can see the cards. The person's allowed to take their action, which was fold anyway, so it was actually relevant.
Yeah.
But there's much more granularity in the punishments because in Magic, there's warnings.
Sorry. Hang on. You say that everyone at the table got to see the cards. So if you accidentally reveal your cards to one person, everyone else at the table has to see them.
Yes.
Wow, because I guess otherwise you could collude. You'd be like, sorry. Yeah, okay, yep.
Again, not a live poker dealer. I was about to say judge.
Yeah.
But I guess in this case, it's a pit boss.
They just pay them with foil seven of hearts.
But the way it works is, so in Magic, you can get a warning, which is largely meaningless. And then the next level up is a game loss, which is pretty high in terms of punishments, right?
Yeah. And so that's why you get a couple of warnings before the game loss kicks in. Yes. Yeah.
But in poker, this guy had like an accidental minor infarction. So they gave him an
infarction? Is he okay? Did you go to hospital?
Yeah, a heart attack, not infarction. So they gave him a two-hand penalty, which means he just has to stand up and miss two hands.
So stand up, we'll go shame, shame, shame.
Yeah, exactly.
Hang on. But missing two hands isn't much of a penalty.
It is, because you still pay your blinds and your ante.
But not if you're... What? But hang on, you just said you can go. You can get up and go to the toilet. What?
He's basically forced to do that for two hands, yes.
So, but if he's not paying the blinds, then it's just free. He just is like, okay, well, sure, whatever.
There's also most tournaments have an ante, which is a blind that everybody pays.
Oh, sure. Okay, sure. Yeah.
It's also like opportunity cost, you know.
Yeah.
You could be missing your pocket rockets.
Can you go to the toilet?
I don't know. I assume so.
Do you have to stand there and just endure the chanting? Yeah, that's good.
Stewing it. Yeah. Didn't do amazingly. Well, I don't know if I'd say that. Steve and I both went. Steve finished a little higher than me. I finished in the top 50%, which I would consider pretty good for my first
look in a game of TFT. That's a dub, man. Congratulations.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. Which I think there was like, I don't know, I finished like 120th and there's like 300 people. So not bad. Look,
without getting all like Dunning-Kruger, that actually does mean that you're, you know, better than average.
Oh yeah, but like sample size in a high chance game.
No, but in that environment in which you played, you did better than average.
That's objectively true. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't mean you're better than average player, but you are better than average in that specific instance. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun and so stressful.
So how long was it? Because a GP day is like, you know, it could be up to like 13 hours, 14 hours, particularly the limited GPs.
So it started at 11. Mm. I got out at like, I don't know, 5 or something.
That's fine. That's a good amount of time. Yep.
But if I'd made it to 7%, I would have been there till 9 or something.
So, and what did you see back from your 200 euros? Nothing?
Nothing.
Yeah.
So top 7% makes day 2, top 15% gets paid. So...
Say that again. Top 7% makes day 2.
Yep.
And then how much?
Top 15% of day one gets paid.
Okay, so you can miss the cut but still cash.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So I think it was 500 euro was everything from 7 to 15% you got, which is 2.5x, which is not bad.
So it's pretty spiky. It's pretty like it's a pretty spiky payout, but that I you know, people don't go to poker to have a flat, everyone gets a booster type structure. Yeah,
well, it's not even just that it's a spiky payout. No one is putting up the prizes the way Wizards does for Magic events.
They're taking
the prizes
entry,
only come from entries.
Yeah.
Which they don't for Magic events, funnily enough.
No, well, I guess that the budget for... It's all just one big pile of Wizards money, right? Like the budget for prize money is at least offset somewhat by ticket entry for Magic.
It depends. Cons. So a lot of the time, the tournament organizer will keep all of the tournament entries up until a certain amount, and then there's a rev share, that kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
It depends on the. I don't know what Reed Pop has worked out for the Magic cons. Depends because they have entry fees as well, so it's tricky. Yeah. Like door fees.
Yeah.
But. It was much more tiring than a Magic event. Much more higher adrenaline. And I don't know if it's because... I mean, it's weird. Like, if you play in a GP before, and it was like, let's say it was like 80 or 100 euro in the latter days, like for the Vegas ones, that's not massively off what I paid to get into this tournament, right?
Mm.
But it's so much more diluted. Like, I'm doing the same thing. I'm betting... an amount of money on the next 8 hours of my life or whatever that my performance in this game will win me back.
Yeah, but it's
money,
one
generally.
But it's one bet when you're in Magic, but when you're playing poker, it's bet after bet after bet after bet. Like it's a constant stream of a different kind of pressure than the one that you feel at a Magic event. Yeah.
Yes. And there were some characters, dude. There was a very scary Russian man at my table.
Oh yeah? What did the very scary Russian man do?
Big scary Russian man, named Vlad, as I recall. Uh-huh. Ironically, big scar, just a scary looking dude, man.
Yeah.
And then with the way we were sitting, so like I was assigned like seat 7 or whatever, and there didn't happen to be anybody in seat 8 or 6 yet, right? Just the way it worked out, because they have like a big computer that does all the seatings. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, no one wants to sit next to me. And this guy hadn't said anything for about 2 hours, and he turns to me and goes, "You are big men." And I was like, oh my God, Vlad called me a big man.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. So was that something that, did that have a similar effect to you as when William Huey Jensen called you D-Money?
It was right up there. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Right up there.
You are
and
a big
then,
man.
Later on in the day, Riley, I successfully bluffed Vlad and I thought my heart was going to explode out of my chest.
Yeah, no wonder you were stressed. You're taking on the Russian mob, dude.
Oh my God. I went all in with like absolutely nothing. I missed my flush draw or whatever.
Yeah.
And he looks at me and he goes, fold. And I was like,
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Got him. Got him.
Oh, it was stressful. And like Steve and I got out and we were driving home and the whole time we were talking and I was like, do you not realize that we are just yelling in the car because we're both very high adrenaline?
Yes, I bet. Yeah. Yeah, it's like when you're in a loud environment, in a high energy environment, and then you leave that high energy environment, but still continue to behave as though you're in it.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. But you had a good time.
It was cool. I had a good time. I played poker a couple of times at home and stuff like that, and I played online and stuff. By no means a seasoned player.
Haven't played your 10,000 hands.
No, definitely not played my 10,000 hands. Also, you don't learn that much from the hands; you just have to fold. but I would do it again. I don't think so. I think mini champ is definitely the stakes I'm comfortable with, which is 200 euro, and even that's on the high end.
Yes.
The main event is 1,200. Like.
And do you have to qualify for that, or can you just choose to go in it?
You can. I think you can satellite into it, which means you win that for free. But I think if you just buy into it, it's 1,200.
But you can just turn up on the day and be like, I'm going to go in the big one.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so they've got like different stakes, I guess. They've got different levels for different what different people are comfortable with. Yeah, I see.
But I was going to say I'd highly recommend it. You would probably hate it for a bunch of reasons.
I don't think I'd like it. No, I don't think I'd enjoy it.
It's interesting for the parallels to a Grand Prix, though.
Yeah, I think I'd be interested to be there, and if there, I'd do one of those like 1v1, or if there was like a casual like a you know if there was like a 20 euro buy in one, I'd have a go at that. But I'd also probably get bored. I don't find poker that fun.
Yeah, I find it kind of fun. It's weird. Like I find it quite fun.
Yeah.
But no part of me was like, because we got out at 5 p.m. There's another version of our tournament starting at 6. No part of me was like, oh, let's go again.
Yes. Yeah. It's not that much fun. It's not like the fun that you're sad when it's over. It's like, oh, okay, that was good. That was fun. Let's go get food. Yeah.
That was how I felt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did see two of the guys at my table being pure. Which is a behavior you would see in a lot of Magic players as well. Pure degenerates in that one guy was like, hey, he ordered a Guinness. And he goes, oh, can I get one as well?
Yeah.
And then he goes, wait. Before he pays, he was like, when the flop comes up, he goes, two black cards I pay, two red cards you pay. And he's like, deal.
That's so, because in Magic, you can't do anything like that.
No.
You can't put a whiff of a wager on anything ever. Like when, in a high stakes situation when there's like, qualifications on the line or a cut to the top eight and there are players there who are sitting there after five turns and they're talking like, I would very much appreciate a concession. They can't, you know, they can't just be like, oh, I'll flip a coin or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas yeah, at a poker event, you can be like, I'll pay you $5,000.
There's a similar thing to that where so you can decide to do something that's called paying the bubble, which I'm not going to get super into explaining, but you like basically like you kind of, if a bunch of people are sitting around just below the about to cash level, you can decide to like sort of everybody gets paid a little less and you basically so you can play the game properly again because otherwise everyone's kind of playing survival horror, you know what I mean?
Right. So it's kind of like splitting.
Yeah, it's very similar to splitting. Yeah. But you vote for it anonymously.
Yeah. Well, that's how good split. That's how at the Australian and New Zealand regional championships here, the judges always make everyone vote to split anonymously.
So the dealer will deal everyone a red card and a black card.
Yes.
And then everyone will hand them a black card or red card.
Yes.
And the dealer will turn them over until they either turn over all black cards or a single red card. If they turn over a single red card, the conversation's done and we're not doing it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is very sort of high, very, very dramatic, you know?
Well, I don't know what it does in poker, but it does. In Magic, it makes a difference if you know who it does, wants to and who doesn't want to split. It makes a big difference as to how you can play a game. Particularly because a lot of people book flights out on the Sunday evening. And so if you know you're paired against someone who has a flight, you just sit there and you play slowly. And eventually there's a good chance they'll just be like, oh, I have to go. Oh, I can't miss my flight, which is a really, really shitty way to do things, but that is what people do. And that's why a good split vote at a Magic tournament should happen anonymously.
Yeah, yeah. So this is very, very similar. It was just really interesting to see all the parallels to GPs and how much GPs are clearly based on poker terms, which I kind of always knew, but it was very, very stark to see it quite so on the nose.
So you're going to go to another one?
I think I'll go again next year, yeah.
Next year. Yeah, one a year. That's enough.
Pretty much, honestly, dude. Like,
that's 200 euros. Thing. Come on. I mean, you don't have that. Maybe you do have that kind of money. I don't know.
I mean, not to blow away, not to blow over Weekend on Poker.
No, not after the 75-inch television. Dennis, no, exactly. we're doing something a little bit different with my half of the show this week because we are doing an actual full-blown update episode.
Okay.
Not just a like, oh, I kind of forgot this thing and I knew I said I was going to remind whatever. Like, this is full on part one, part two, right? Because last week we talked about my foray into social media. And it was good talking about some of the stuff, but it ended up being a very casual, almost like informal chat between the two of us. You know, when you're talking about, oh, you should go on YouTube, you should do this and that. And like, we've talked a little bit about how obviously these podcasts are somewhat performative, at least. Or we're not being 100% our genuine selves as we are when we're just, you know, sitting around talking shit. But that podcast was very close to it because at that point I was actually taking notes from you and talking about social media strategies, all that other stuff. And that led us into a discussion about the Half-Assed History domain name.
Yes.
And upon reflection, now that I think about it and based on what has happened recently in the week since that episode went up, we may have actually gone too far into just casual chat between two friends, right?
You think we shouldn't? Okay, all right. You think so? Okay, here we go.
I got an email on the... When was it? I got an email last week, right? Late last week. I'm not going to out this company for reasons that will become very clear. But this was a very interesting email to get in light of what we talked about in last week's episode, right?
Okay.
So the email was from this company saying, "Hi, we own www.halfasshistory.com domain name.
Oh my God.
And we are looking to sell it."
They've come in, they're looking for the ransom, Riley.
But you might remember in last week's episode, I mentioned, well, you know, if a listener has gone and parked it, they'll come to me and they'll name their price and I'll just tell them, oh, whatever, or whatever, right? And then this happened, although this person I don't think is a listener because they don't make any reference and I don't have any knowledge or relationship with this person, right? And it came from a company, the representative of a company, not just some random person being like, yeah, it was me, you know, give me $1,000.
Yeah.
So the email continues. After doing some research, we found that you were using the .us extension and might be interested in your blog.com domain for more opportunity and growth.
But Riley, you're using the .net extension.
So I don't know what's going on here, right? Because the email at this stage now is like, I'm not saying like poor English, but clumsy English at least. Right.
I mean, or perhaps written by a bot or something like that, or like, you know.
Also just not like shoddy research, shoddy intel. I use halfasshistory.net, not halfasshistory.com. But then in a different typeface, which always says to me that this is where things have been copied and pasted, the next line is in a different typeface. Mm. We are asking $350 for this valuable domain. Then back to the original typeface. I would love to know if you were interested or capital H have any questions? Question mark, kind regards this guy from this company. I didn't know what to think of this email on a great many axes, right?
All right, we discussed what price you'd be willing to pay, but was that on the podcast or was that in private?
I don't remember that we did. Maybe we did, but I don't know if I did or if I didn't, right? But before we come to the price, let's talk about the timing.
The timing is very strange, yes.
Very strange. So I can think of two things here. Either somehow this person has been connected to this podcast, right, and has reached it. Because this is a broker, right? This is a domain name broker, essentially. Someone who parks, they park on domains and then like try to sell them when they blow up or whatever. So either there's a listener of this show who got that domain and they're not wanting to spoil their anonymity has engaged this company to reach out to me and try to sell it to me, which is a weird move because if it was a listener who was like, hey, I got you, right? Mm-hmm. I probably would have been more likely about, oh, well played. Here is your however much, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So going through an agency is weird. But the second thing is, if it's just an agency parking thing, why this week after we've been talking about it on the show?
Why now? Yeah, that is bizarre. Yeah.
Why now? Half-Assed History has not become enormously popular recently, not within the last couple of weeks. If anything, like the numbers have plateaued. So the other potential explanation is that they somehow know that I have been searching for it on GoDaddy.
Yes.
Is there a way that they can have an alert set up that's like, oh, this domain has been searched for, you know, five times in the last week or so? Do they have some mechanism there? Because at the back end of GoDaddy, it has a whole mechanism set up for like parking on domain names. Mm-hmm. So does that tell them, oh, we've had a lot of searches for this address? That I think has to be more likely, right?
I mean, GoDaddy would want to give them that data voluntarily. I don't think there's any way for them to get it without GoDaddy giving it up. And I don't know why GoDaddy would do that.
But on GoDaddy, there's a thing that says domain parking. And then you click on it. I'm not parking any domain, so I don't know what it looks like when you are. But it has like potential revenue or like expected value of the domains you own. Obviously, mine were just zero because I didn't own any.
Maybe they get an alert that's like a domain you own has been being searched for. Yeah. Okay, maybe.
Exactly. And then, I don't know, GoDaddy benefits from that just because it encourages people who park on domains to just buy a bunch of them, right? Like, that's not hurting their bottom line. It doesn't really matter to the other thing is this. If I buy it off them and I continue with it registered on GoDaddy, it doesn't matter to GoDaddy who owns the domain, right?
No, it doesn't.
So in that regard, they're just trying to incentivize people to buy more domain names.
I suppose, yeah. Also, I mean, they also make money every time it gets transferred. There's a fee for that.
Well, there you go. So that's another reason they're going to encourage people to park, right? So I was really, really, I didn't know what to do. Like, I really didn't know what to do. Let's talk about the price.
I think at that price, you snap it off, personally.
So $350, you think I just pay?
I think you just pay, yes.
See, here's my thing with $350. I want to congratulate this person for picking this number because I think it is the perfect amount, right?
Okay.
It's not so expensive because if they'd been like, we want 1,000, I'd be like, all right, thanks. I don't care, right? But if they'd been like 100, I would have been like, absolutely, right? 350 was a very well-placed like opening offer because I was like, oh, do I? I guess, mate. Like, is that, wow. I don't know. It's expensive, but it's not completely out of, you know, it's not out of the question. It's not $1,000.
Yeah, exactly. That's interesting. Yeah, they've found their pricing point, their price point very, very well.
Very, very well. A lot better than the grammar and formatting of the email, at least.
So, yeah, well, those are two separate departments, I'm sure.
So I decide I'm going to get back in touch with them. Yeah. And I decide that I'm going to email them. And, well, I want to tell you my two approaches before I tell you what actually happened, right? On the one hand, I was thinking, okay, I could be professional and I could be like, oh, you know, thank you very much. I'm interested in buying this, but, you know, let's talk about the price and try to just do a sort of traditional back and forth negotiation. I say 200, they say whatever, we meet somewhere in the middle. Or I just lie and I say, oh, yeah, I don't really know. I tried to, but I didn't really understand how it worked. It's just a little hobby. I don't really have that kind of money to throw. Oh man, that's such a shame. Maybe I could offer you like $100 or something like that, right?
So, Riley, if you think there's a chance they listen to the podcast, that's how they got it. Maybe we shouldn't be having this discussion on second podcast.
Oh, no. I'm going to tell you, the issue has been resolved.
Oh, okay, good. Because I feel like you might be shooting.
No. This whole issue has been resolved. But I want you to tell me, do you think I should have gone for the professional one, where I probably would have, I don't know, maybe got it below 300, maybe, I don't know. Or should I have just played the rank amateur and just been like, I could only pay 100, and if they come back and they're just like, no, we're not. Like, oh, okay, well, that's all right. I guess I just won't buy it because I don't care that much.
I think I would have countered it like 300, which is kind of a middle of the way both worlds approach, I suppose, and called it a day on that. Personally,
I was never going to go back to 300. I would have gone back to 200.
Oof. Okay. So I probably would have just snapped it off.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that's necessarily correct, you know? Why? I need to know what you did. I need to know what you did.
Yeah. Well, it's about to get real spicy here, right? So there is another element to this that I was a little bit... I was... It set off my bullshit meter a little bit. So I started to research this company. And it has a website, and they have a Trustpilot rating, and they have, you know, all the five-star reviews that come up on the bottom of the testimonials, right? Everything's five stars, and obviously they're fake, right?
Yeah.
It did seem to be legitimate, but I was thinking, I just don't, okay. I'm just getting a bad vibe off of this whole thing. Also, on top of this, you and I have done more research. You used to own the domain. You tried to transfer it to me. I thought we had completed that transfer. There is no record of it anywhere on GoDaddy, on my side or your side. Oh, we don't know what has happened, right? So I'm like, I'm just going to call GoDaddy and see if it's, you know, maybe I had another account that I've forgotten about, or like, I just wanted to, like, because it's not on my history of owned domains anywhere. So I wanted more information. So I call GoDaddy and I get all the information up on my screen. And while I'm on hold, I'm like, oh, I better, you know, bring up the page. Maybe there's like an ID number or something. I better put in halfhousehistory.com and you know, tell them, oh, it's saying that this is the case with it, right?
Yes, yes.
So while I'm on hold with GoDaddy, I type halfhousehistory.com into the search for domain box. And Dennis, it came up as available.
Dude, this happened to me, remember?
Yeah. And that's what I thought, because it came up with available to you, and then you refreshed the page or did something, and it went back to like, no, not available.
It was just,
right?
A bug, yeah, a display bug of some kind, yeah.
Well, if it's a display bug, it's a very persistent one, because I immediately didn't look at anything, just went add to cart, yep. Pay. I'm still on hold. The guy answers like, oh, hi, thanks for calling GoDaddy. How can I help? I'm like, I don't want to waste your time. I think I've solved the problem since being on hold with you.
You just sniped at Hackle. What?
Dennis, go to halfhousehistory.com. Let's see what happens here. Let's see if this has actually worked, right? Because according to GoDaddy, I own the site.
So this says McLeaney Domain Park. No, I'm kidding. It goes to halfhousehistory.net.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going
to
say.
Riley, you need
to
update.
It may not be really interesting. Go on.
You need to update your favicon, by the way.
Why? What's that?
It's just the little icon that comes up when you have it as a tab. It's just the WordPress logo right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll change that. Anyway.
You can make that a little Herodotus.
Anyway, I just bought it, right? I just bought it.
Unbelievable.
Then and there. So I have now so many questions. When we were looking at this last week, this website was taken. It definitely was. Except for the time that you searched it and then it became available and then it wasn't again, right?
Correct.
But I didn't risk refreshing because I knew what had happened to you. I'm like, no, it says it's available. It's in my cart. They're taking my money. So at least now I can be like, well, I've paid for it. You know, I own this.
Yes,
I've got an email receipt.
You have a receipt. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. So I didn't test it. I wasn't like, oh, I wonder. But I haven't replied to this person who emailed me claiming that they owned it. So I kind of want to, but also don't really, because...
No, 100% reply and be like, hey, I'm very interested, actually. What do you...
Yeah. Because if they're a broker, right, am I then... I go, oh, yeah, I'm really interested. I'll employ you as a broker to go to get it for me. Am I then going to get an email from them being like, hey, we've got a client who's interested in buying this off you? And I'm like, yeah, I know, it's me. So
you should 100% reply and find out, dude. I think it's not even close that you should do that.
But I'm scared that I'll do something and then they'll be like, oh, no, we actually do own it, and then it'll just disappear from my GoDaddy. I don't know. I don't know what to... I
understand that apprehension.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it works. You've forwarded it. It's in your... It'll be pretty wild.
Yeah. Because it's so confusing, right? Because it's intangible. Like, it's not a thing. That was the other thing. That was the other thing with just handing over $350 to them. What if they're just like, okay, thanks for the money. We're never giving, like, they don't, it's not like I can go to their house and be like, please give me that box of domain name that you've got, you know?
Correct, yeah.
But not the resolution I was expecting by any means.
No, that you hadn't told me this until we started this episode,
no.
By the way, and I had no idea this is what had happened. This is phenomenal.
So now I have halfhousehistory.com. I have auto renew set up with two backup payment options, right? In case anything happens. Mm-hmm. I'm not letting this one slip through my fingers again. And I'm considering getting all the others as well. .org, .info, .. whatever, .us, the one that he thought that I was already using this
claim you already have. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, Riley, if you're going to mention it on the podcast, now you have to go and do it.
Well, this will be the test. Maybe this guy will get in touch and be like, we know that you're interested in halfhousehistory.org. Do you want to buy it off us for $350?
We heard you're actually interested in playing in poker tournaments, but only the $20 level. That's what they fix.
And if I got that email, I'd be like, well done. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And sure, I'll be there with $20. Yeah.
Yeah, they got
anyway,
you.
I now am the proud owner of halfhousehistory.com after what has become now a how long has it been? 5-year saga now since the whole Resident Evil thing?
Multi-year saga, yeah. I did not think this was going to happen. I thought this was not an outcome I was considering even an option. So no. They must have let it lapse, right? There's no other explanation.
Here's my point, because that's a potential. If you are going to reach out to someone to try to flog a domain name to them, make sure you've got it for the next like couple of weeks during the negotiation period while eyes are on it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I would have gone in and be like, 100%. Right, I'll make sure I've got that for the next year before I go and say to this guy, hey, because, you know, he might look it up. He might look it up.
Wouldn't be silly of you to look it up, you know? It's very reasonable.
It's like trying to on-sell something. You know, you go to someone and say, oh, hey, would you be, you know, like your dad used to, he did a bit of door-to-door salesmanship, right? So it's like, hey, do you want to buy this vacuum cleaner? And the guy's like, yeah, great, okay. He's like, all right, well, I'll be back in a second. I'm just going to go down to Godfrey's and get it, and then I'll come back with it. And then the guy's like, well, I'll just do that then and not pay you the 20% commission or whatever. This is kind of what it feels like they've done. They're like, oh, we own this. He's looked at it, oh, it's available. But it wasn't available, and then it was. I don't know what happened. I really have no idea what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you are kind. It is reasonable that GoDaddy messed up with some capacities. Maybe you don't want to rock the boat.
It's just that if that bug was a bug, and if it was a thing where it had this automated thing where you were able to buy it, but then refreshed it and it went back. Because now, well, let's put it to the test again, Dennis. Go to GoDaddy.com and try to buy HalfAssHistory.com. Let's see what happens.
This is interesting. Okay.
Because if it comes up that you can buy it, then...
Well, what happens if I do?
Yeah, well, I trust you a lot more than I trust this joke who was in my inbox.
What have we got? HalfAssHistory.com is taken. Oh, but there's a broker service fee. Oh, well, HalfAssHistory.org is wide open, though.
Yeah. Look... I wasn't particularly interested in fighting the war over halfasshistory.com, and I'm definitely not fighting for .org. I don't care. Like, the reason I want .com is because there will be some number of people who either by rote, by accident, or out of the opposite of a baseless assumption, a baseful assumption that my website would
be... A truly based assumption
that my website would be .com and not .net like the lunatic that I am. I needed .com just because that is what people will default to, right? But yeah, no one's going, oh, I better check out this podcast website. What was it again? Half House History.
It's a charity, right?
.org. Yeah, exactly, yeah. I did look at .com.au as well, but oh boy, you have to jump through so many hoops to get that one.
You have to prove you're like a resident or something?
You've got a bunch of documentation to prove that it is an Australian website run by Australians in Australia for Australians. And I qualify almost certainly for it, but... Also, there's no reason to. I don't have different, like, there's no, you know, it's not like, oh, you're visiting Half House History UK. Would you like to visit Half House History AU, you know?
I would buy it and just have it be the same website, but upside down, personally, but that's just me.
That's pretty good. I don't know if there's a WordPress plugin for that, but if there is, I should look into it.
I have to imagine Australians are much less keen on that joke than the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just one of the ones you just sort of, like, the one that really bothers me is all the animals trying to kill you, because it's just like, whatever. And but you're such a spoil sport if you go, well, actually, you know, so you're just like, yeah, very good. You like, just sort of go.
You probably like a little bit being perceived as this like super dangerous.
No, it's very tiresome. It's really tiresome.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because people use it as a legitimate, if it was just a joke, that's fine, but I know it actually legitimately does put people off coming here.
That's me coming off there. Maybe that's...
Well, I was going to say there are certain people on this call who I won't name who have spoken to me about some of the doubts that they and their wives have, or their wife. I'm not pointing fingers. But yeah, a friend of mine and his wife, I do a podcast with him.
Adrian.
Well, yeah, the Australian. Yeah, with the wife, the Danish wife who has lived in Australia for a long time.
Yeah.
No, like, I think it honestly puts you and Nikki off a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, really, the distance puts me off. If Australia was where Germany was, I would have gone by now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, even with all the snakes and spiders and jellyfish. You're scared of the wrong things. No one dies of snakes or spider bites. People die from being stung by box jellyfish.
Yeah, I'm not mess with that.
But no one is like, oh no, I can't go to Australia. What about the jellyfish? You know, they're going, oh, snakes and spiders.
Well, it's easy to avoid jellyfish.
It's easy to avoid snakes and spiders.
Not as easy.
Do you know how many spiders, like, do you know how many spiders I've seen? Spiders wrong. Do you know how many snakes I've seen in the wild, Dennis?
How many spiders? Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. How many spiders have you seen?
Well, there are spiders. Like, my backyard's got spiders in it. We had a spider in the bedroom the other night. Like, there are spiders. There are definitely spiders. But they don't do anything. They just sit in the corner and then they just leave you alone. I did go out running sometime last year, and there was a snake sunning itself on the pavement. So I just went a different way. I just left it. I wasn't going to bother.
That sounds kind of cute, actually, though, honestly.
Yeah. Well, some people really don't like snakes.
I don't like snakes. I would be a little bit skeeved out by a snake. That is true.
Yeah. Some people are like my mum, if there's a snake on the telly, she is like, ooh, like this sort of thing. She's like Indiana Jones type.
Okay. Yeah. That is Indiana Jones level, yeah. I would say. I'm not there.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that about does it for this saga. I don't think I'm going to follow this any further just because I don't want anything to go wrong. And
well, you don't want to rock the boat, I understand that.
It's a lesson I learned a long time ago. If you've got what you want, just shut your mouth, right? Like, yeah, don't do or say anything to jeopardize it. If you're going to get something that you want, just let it happen. So anyway, that's the part two of the halfasshistory.com saga. And hopefully it'll be the concluding chapter as well, Dennis, because I'm not really interested in you know, this becoming a trilogy.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Have a Listen to This, your weekly dose of bite-sized nonsense with Riley Knight and Dennis Straniak. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it. If you didn't like it, I guess tell them anyway, but hopefully they download it and they like it. Or if they don't, those downloads show up just the same, to be honest. If you really like the show, you head to patreon.com/havealistentothis and support the show, get the show a little bit early, as well as some other exclusive perks, and, you know, help us keep the lights and the mics on over here.